Entry 3. We have traveled some time. Inuts may know how long. In much the same way that we scoff at ancient tribes who revered the sun as a supernatural deity, I no longer wish to bore myself with the acknowledgement of passing time. This book is many things, a spellbook, a book of prayer, a history lesson, philosophy, and science. It's black and forbidden, the type of text only spoken of in furtive paragraphs of mixed abhorrence and fascination, penned by those strange ancient delvers into the universe's guarded secrets whose decaying text I'd love to absorb. It's a key, a guide, to certain gateways and transitions of which mystics have dreamed and whispered since Terra was young. It leads to freedoms and discoveries beyond the three dimensions and realms of life that we know. Not for centuries had any man recalled its vital substance or known where to find it. I do believe this must be the Libris Mortis. I transfer key portions of this knowledge to my journal, not for passing along, but for my own edification. Often I find myself unsure whether or not I am within a dream. Most of the time upon awakening, I frantically check this book to see what I have actually written within its margins. Despite the confirmation, there are still times I fear I am existing in a dream within a dream. I do not know how deep my subconscious can go as a defense mechanism, pushing my conscious self farther and farther away from the things I have learned buried beneath a mountain larger on the inside than on the outside. If this truly is the Libris Mortis, its information on what we know as natural law is fact. It's history and not myth. It also confirms that which the merfolk told me of the nature of their curse and the origins of death itself. However, the author is unknown, and therefore there can never be a truly authoritative canon. According to the text, when the universe was unfolded from the center of chaos, what life escaped from the madness became the gods we have forgotten. And from the exponential unfolding of time and chaos, eventually man came to exist. Forever, it turns out, is quite a long time, and the weight of eons was most heavy on the newer, smaller, weaker creatures, both overwhelming and isolating. The acknowledgement of ever-growing units of time would drive them to madness. On a long enough scale, this affliction would expand to infect greater, older beings and to demigods and other entities we could not comprehend. Azathoth could not alter time, change that which is his being, much in the same way we cannot alter our own heights or eye color without relying on temporary magics. And so the universe itself received the eldest god's last gift, release from the inexorable stagnancy of life. Today, we perceive death as a failure of a body and spirit, but it is life that is the error in the grand design. And this new creation needed avatars of its domain. The knowledge of this curse was passed down to them, and while the elder gods have been forgotten, this knowledge has been retained. This is even more cause to believe my hypothesis is correct. It's correct. But I must dig further into Nerol and Pluton.